I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Just to kind of piggyback on Voice Guy in the whole Texans promotion that you just heard there, coming up this next week, this week, starting Wednesday, the Texans will officially begin their OTAs and minicamp schedule. We'll have actually some stuff to talk about because media's going to have the opportunity to go out there and watch practice. And first opportunity for that is Wednesday. We can do that again on Friday, then next Tuesday, and Thursday as well. So about 5 days coming up here in the next week or so that we'll have an opportunity to go watch practice, hear from D'Amico Ryans. Nick Caley's scheduled to talk on Friday along with Matt Burke and Frank Ross. And some players are going to be made available, I think, starting next week to the media. So a lot of stuff to talk about and listen in for on Sports Radio 610. We'll do all that in the coming days. 713-572-4610 if you want to hit us up. Reminder, too, if you want to text in or YouTube, Twitch, join the chats there with some people, family members, people you'd like to give a shout-out to, remember, on this Memorial Day. Share their stories and names. We'll read it for you. We'd like to do that as well throughout the course of the show all the way up until 6 o'clock.
All right, number one, Libby, thank you for turning off the fake You Shook Me All Night Long.
What do you mean fake?
Did that sound like the studio version to you?
I wasn't really paying attention to it.
I don't know if it was a live version or if it's a cover version, but never play that again. It's terrible.
Got you. Yeah, it was on the rotate, so I just let it play. My fault.
I mean, I'm hearing it, and I'm like, this is the wrong key.
I didn't even hear it.
It's the wrong speed. This is not what it's supposed to sound like, and it irks me. Because I know what that song is supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
And when you hear a song...
Former FM DJ right there.
When you hear a song that you know how... Like, you know everything about that song, and it's wrong, it pisses you off. So, yeah, never play that crap again.
Never! I got you.
Also, turn this off. It sounds like we're in, like, a space porn.
I thought I was going to say softcore porn music. Yeah, next on the playlist.
It's definitely got a like a porn vibe to it.
You can pull up some college football songs or something like that.
No, just play something that doesn't suck. It's not that hard.
That would be good. Well, we're going to talk college football here.
That's better.
Got yeah, you.
That works. That works. All right.
This is actually my favorite AC/DC song.
So I said, help us make some sense of what's a really important week in college football. How important is this week really in the grand scheme of things? PC can help us parse through that. Ross Dellinger, who covers college football, in his recent piece tried to do as much as well. Interesting part of the column for me was Dellinger saying the SEC leaders begin meetings here this week in the midst of a proverbial battle over the future of college athletics. It's football postseason championships, the NCAA's governance role, and the inception for the first time ever of direct revenue sharing with its athletes. SEC old timers believe it to be the most consequential gathering in the history of the conference. So the SEC heads are meeting to discuss a proposal in the exploration of a 9-game conference schedule that is on the front burner. And I think the idea is the only way the SEC would ever agree to add a 9th conference game would be additional inclusion of future playoff brackets, along with the expectation of a bigger payday from its TV partners. We're about to enter into, what is this, the second year of a 12-team playoff?
Yes.
And
only the second year.
Only the second year.
And they're already changing it.
This year, it's going to be different seeding. So the seeding is going to be however the 1 through 12 finish in the rankings. Boom. There's your seeding. There's no changing of the seeds. It's 1 through 12. There's your seeding. The first four seeds get a bye, and then 5 plays 12, 6, 11, you know, so on and so forth. They're already talking about maybe going to a 14-team playoff at the conclusion of this contract. Last time maybe we'll ever see 12 teams. It could go to 14. It could go to 16. And then there could be a whole nother seeding apparatus in the playoff beyond that. For could last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. They're constantly going to be playing with this. Tell me why this is the most important week in maybe the history of not just the SEC, but maybe all of college football, if they're just going to change the damn thing potentially in the next year to two.
So what the SEC and the Big Ten have basically like joined forces to kind of take over the CFP. And what they're trying to do, originally they wanted to go to 14 teams. Now they want to go to 16 teams. And you would think, all right, well, you go to 16 teams, it's 1 through 16. What's the big deal? Well, it's not necessarily going to be 1 to 16 straight seeding and all that. No, this is going to get a lot more complicated. So the Big Ten and the SEC, they want to be guaranteed four teams for each conference in the 16-team CFP, whether they are ranked or not. They want four teams in. They want the ACC and the Big 12. Well, you could get two. And all the G5 conferences together will give you one. So you're talking about, of the 16 teams, 13 of them being preordained.
Yeah.
And then three, quote, at-large, not necessarily conference-affiliated. But you see where this can wind up with a higher-seeded team in a different conference being left out for a lower-ranked team because that conference has mandated slots. On top of that, it's not just 1 to 16, 2 to 15. They want the top two teams to have a double bye.
So those top two seeds would effectively, they would chill the first round.
They go chill the second round. Go right to the quarters.
Yeah.
And the way they want to set this up is that the bottom four teams, so 13, 14, 15, 16, would basically be like the first four in the NCAA tournament. They have to play each other, 13, 16, 14, 15. They have to play each other in order to get into, quote, the first round.
So it's like the play-in, too, in the NBA, there's your 9-10s,
so,
and they're going for the 7-8 seeds.
The winner of those teams would then get into, quote, the first round. So it would be like the third team, the three against the winner of 14-15, the four against the winner of 13-16. And then like 5-12, 6-11, 7-10, 8-9. And then those are your six games for that weekend. And then you've got your six winners. Then add in the two double bye teams. And then you've got eight teams. So four games for your quarters, two games for your semi, one for your final.
To me, this is such a horrible idea. With like not the seeding necessarily, but the teams that you are saying, like as you mentioned, mandated. We got to have four teams from the Big Ten. We got to have four teams from the SEC. We got to have two teams from the ACC. We got to have two teams from this conference and only one from, you know, a non-Power Five. All you're doing is ultimately getting back to the, you know, issues that we have right now in college football. The reason why college football had gone from, you know, 4 to 12, you know, there's always going to be teams that feel like they've gotten the shaft. They've gotten the short end of the stick, that they're deserving. What if a team like a Big Ten, they have like four schools that wound up in the top 16 of the rankings? Well, fine. And odds are says that that's probably going to be true if you're talking about Oregon or Penn State or Ohio State. Last year it was Indiana, right? It had a hell of a year. Maybe it's not Indiana this year. Well, maybe it's Michigan. Who knows? Wherever it comes from. That's not always guaranteed to be the case, though, in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Well, let's see how this would have worked last year. Libby, I need your assistance here. I need you to track the teams here, all right? So you got like a notepad on your phone, or you got a pad you could scribble on or whatnot. I need you to track these teams.
You have to count.
If you put it in the rundown, that's fine. Just I want you to track the teams, because if you look at the final standings for last year, number one, Ohio State, Big Ten, they would get a double bye. Number two is Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame, of course, is an Indy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a conference affiliation. They would have a double bye. So they are one of the three teams that would not be a mandated selection. Three was Oregon, so Big Ten. Four was Texas, SEC. Five is Penn State, Big Ten. Six was Georgia, SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Seven was Arizona State, Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State, Mountain West. Now, that's your, are they your G5?
No. Oh, yeah, your G5.
So they're your G5.
Yeah, they're your G5. I was saying Power 5.
Tennessee, SEC. Indiana, Big Ten. Page refreshed on its own. Ole Miss, SEC. SMU, ACC.
You're already 4-4 right there.
Four. So I got ACC 1. BYU's Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two Big 12 teams. I got Arizona State, I got BYU. Clemson, ACC. Iowa State, Big 12. That's third Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois Big Ten.
You already got four Big Ten.
Well, they get an extra one
because
they're ranked in the top 16. So in this case, you have your extras would be Iowa State, Notre Dame, and Boise State. G5. Notre Dame would be an extra because they're not a conference affiliation.
Right.
Iowa State would be an extra because they're a third Big 12, and Illinois would be an extra because they're a fifth Big 10.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case, nobody who was in the top 16 got bumped for a mandated slot.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it can't happen.
And it will happen.
It absolutely will happen, and it'll probably happen the first year, because what do we see every year? This is sort of the BCS. Remember the BCS had their whole convoluted computer, how can we manipulate that? And every year they would change the rules of the BCS to overcome whatever the problem was last year that led to a new problem for that year. Okay, now we got to change this. And then this happened. Okay, yeah. Well, now we got to change that. And if they were to stick with the 1 through 12, I think college football fans in general are cool with that. However it comes out, 1 through 12, 1 plays 12, 2 plays, they just run it through the line. And I think every college football fan is good with that.
Yeah, it's a one-stop shop. The rankings are the rankings.
Now, if they move it to 16 teams,
mm-hmm.
I don't think college football fans have a problem with it, because the idea is we'll get some better bowl games, right? If they just go 1 through 16, we're all good, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not going to go 1 through 16. We're going to do the first four play-in. Then we're going to do like a New Year Six. Then we're going to have quarterfinals.
Mm.
So it's going to extend the season, which, look, I don't have a problem with extending the season, because the more high-quality college football I can get, mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah.
But it just, the way they want to slant everything, SEC Big 12, Big 10, SEC Big 10, SEC Big 10, SEC Big 10, it's going to come to a head if you're mandating they get 50% of the slots, no matter what.
And that's got to be in direct relation to the amount of money that
is
going to be generated, because it comes from those particular conferences.
Because they are the two highest grossing conferences. Look, this is about TV money. This is not about competition. It's not about college football. It's about schools wanting more money because they know, number one, you always got to make more money. Number two, they got to start paying out players a whole lot more than what they're paying out now. That is coming. So they are looking for additional revenue. And the Big Ten commissioner is a former TV exec.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to build money, what the networks want, where they're going to make the most money. And he's figured it out. Well, Big Ten, SEC, this is my money makers. We want them in at least half the playoff games.
713-572-4610 if you'd like to be involved. Continue to text in. You can call in, too, with your memories of an individual that you'd like to have remembered on this Memorial Day. We'll have more college football for you next. It's Area 45.